I voted for Obama. And for years, I used to think I didn't pay that much attention, but I thought actually I didn't vote for him, but I mentally voted. Whereas like I wanted that guy to win. Right. So I had that. And so for years I had this idea that, oh, he's good. And then I actually looked in and started becoming more aware of some of the things he did and didn't do and the drone strikes and whatever. And I just think he's shit. And you can also bleep that out, Jason, but he's a shit. Hey, Colin here. We just launched our Patreon, so if you want to support the show, head over to patreon.com/Colin Stuckert. That's patreon.com/ColinStuckert. We will have exclusive updates coming. It will also give us more opportunities to invest more in the show and release more shows. Some other bonuses with the different tiers. Check it out over at patreon.com, and thank you for your support. Another way that you can support the show is you can head over to Wild Foods and use code AMPODCAST12 for 12% off your entire order of real food, superfood, supplements, and ingredients. These are products that I've been using myself in my daily life for years. I recommend checking out our fish oil and our collagen. And also make sure you check out the Cocotropic. It's one of my favorite products. Cocoa, mushrooms, delicious. Head over to wildfoods.co and use AMPODCAST12 for 12% off your entire order.
What is up, ancestral minions? It's a name that we're testing out for the ancestral mind audience. Minions.
I say it faster. It can't be ancestral minions. You gotta be like, what's up, ancestral minions?
No, wait a minute. Like, it has to be what's up, ancestral minions? Ancestral minions. Yes. You have to like lick your lips and twist your mustache. So it is time for another episode of just chatting about what's going on with Colin. It's a tribe chat. So here's the thing. Colin's been telling me he's moving to Costa Rica. And we haven't laid out the whole plan yet. And I thought it would be fun to lay out the whole plan live on air and just explain to the audience how this process is going to go, where he's going to go, what's he going to do, what would living ancestrally in the jungle in Costa Rica be like. I don't even know. So how serious are you, scale 1 to 10, of moving to Costa Rica?
Well, you just told the audience that I'm moving to Costa Rica. So now in my mind, I've just clicked. I guess I am moving to Costa Rica. So before it was all research, but now it's like, I guess I'm committed.
Spoiler alert, I'm going through something like this myself. So I'll come into it towards the end of the episode. But because I know exactly how you feel on the like, I guess now it's real, I guess I'm doing it phase. So what was the first time that the thought of I might move to Costa Rica enter your brain?
I mean, it was at some point in 2020 when the government decided that Walmart was an essential business, yet the farmer's market here by me was not.
The farmer's market by you had to be closed during lockdown?
I kid not. Yeah.
Wow.
And I never thought in my lifetime as an adult that I would see the government interfere in private life the way it has. And so it's like, okay, one passport, is that good? We actually just had to renew it, and then we had to get one for our son the other day, 2-hour process. But I just found out that my passport was going to expire next month. I had no idea. I didn't even look at the expiration date. And so I literally had to send that in, which kind of sucks because now I'm stuck here for 3 months minimum. It's going to
take forever.
It's going to take a while to get, and they're not expediting them, but at least it's in.
Jeez.
Yeah. So then I was thinking about crypto.
There's no way you're moving within 3 months anyway, though. Like that could just be a good deadline.
Well, but we could go down there and just rent a place.
That's true.
You know? I mean, I could go down with $5,000 and like be good for 6 months, probably, like if I had to, you know? Yeah. So it's like when I started thinking about that and contemplating that, like worst case scenario, if there's civil war, or if we literally have a major food shortage or whatever, it's like we're insulated a little bit being in the country, but we don't, I mean, if the economy broke down, dude, even somebody like me would, I don't know what we'd do. We'd have to like barter for food and crap. You know, we grow a few vegetables, but I'd have to go literally try to find steel goats and cows and bring it to my house. Like it could get crazy. So all those things that I don't think are going to happen. Like I've become a little bit more optimistic lately, but 2020 made me go from like eternal optimist that assumed America would figure itself out to being legitimately unsure.
Right.
And I'm still kind of legitimately unsure, but I think it's likely just because there's so many damn people, and there are a lot of very smart people, and there are, and there's literally millions of Americans. Most Americans are good people, period. Even if I think a lot of them are sheep and they're, and in some cases they're dumb about things, they're still good people, right? I don't want to see them suffer. I don't want their kids to suffer, whatever, but I can't ignore what like the big tech companies and the censorship and Google and YouTube and what in Facebook, and then the politicians that are playing into it. And then even doctors that are going on TV and using fear mongering, scare mongering, and manipulating science and data and all these things. I can't just ignore that. Like I used to just be able to mind my business and literally build my business. Now I feel like building a business in America is a risk. I'm still going to do it. And I still, cause I have to do it and I want to do it, but I can't not make backup plans. So basically this, that's what this is. It's like a worst case scenario. Neil Strauss wrote about an emergency type of like, if some crazy stuff happens, what are we going to do? And that's not even accounting for like the major things. Like if the power grid went down, or if the, even the internet and communications went down, I was reading a book about that. Like if the government lost like the ability to communicate and the country's in the dark, you'd have like civil chaos, like overnight. Like it'd be insane. It'd be like Armageddon basically. Right. And some people say that if they took the internet down, it's like that one movie, Die Hard with the Vengeance. Is it Die Hard with the Vengeance, where they did what's called like a firestorm or a fire sale or something like that? It's, they basically attacked cyber and it completely disrupted the entire way of life, like pure cyber tech.
I don't remember the internet existing in Die Hard. The Die Hard is pretty old.
No, Die Hard. No, Live Free or Die Hard. That's what it is. Die Hard with the Vengeance is the old one. Oh, it's actually really good. It's got the young dude that was in the Apple commercials. It's good. Really good. But yeah, that could happen, right? That's just one other thing. So, I mean, I guess, what was the question again? Why do I want to move to Costa Rica? That's basically why.
To like sum it up, basically, you got a little bit concerned with the direction that the country may be going in. And you and I fundamentally disagree on a lot of the possible reasons for the country going in bad directions. But I also agree it's going in a bad direction. So I agree with 90% of what you're saying when you're saying about what you're moving to and why you're moving there. So it's not like you think it's happening tomorrow. You're not like in this doomsday prophecy mode where you're like, I gotta get the fuck out. But you want an option, and you've done enough research to know that basically, even if you kind of buy some property there and don't move to it, you can probably break even-ish on it via like an Airbnb or something like that. Is that kind of the plan if shit doesn't go down?
Yeah, well, and at the very least, I have a vacation home where my property taxes are like $500 a year, and I could probably just buy it cash.
Okay.
So I'm fortunate. I'm not going to use a privilege word because I'm not privileged because I earned this shit, but I'm fortunate that I have the resources to do that. But there's going to be people that literally are sitting in America with millions of dollars. And if they get caught in one of these situations, like let's say the Gold Act of 1930, the government confiscated gold, made it illegal to own gold, right? They could do that with Bitcoin. They could do that with whatever. They're trying to move to a digital dollar. They're already saying banks can't give out coins. Like there's all these things that are happening that the majority of people are not aware of. And what the elites are trying to do is they're trying to prop up the fake fiat dollar system. Now that's a huge rabbit hole, but no intelligent person would debate you if you said the debt in this country, the fact that it's bankrupt and the fake dollars, nobody would say that that's sustainable. Like nobody can defend that. They're just going to argue about when it's going to happen. Right. Yeah. Like, so like, it's one of those things like that. So what's going to happen is there'll be some major reset or depression or whatever. Maybe it's going to happen this year. I don't know. And you're going to see things like gold and Bitcoin and these things skyrocket. The dollars, the people that own the dollars, which is the average American, and that have, you know, a paycheck and that's it, have no emergency fund or assets or whatsoever, they are going to pay the price. I got to do a little political tangent though. We got to talk about this. So the stimulus, right? The tax cuts. People don't understand. They think this is free money. They think a tax cut is free money, basically. Government spending is a tax, right? The American public always pays for government spending, right? So even if
just through inflation, like,
well, that's what I'm saying. That's part of it. It's inflation. It's printing dollars. It's also just the fact that the government goes into debt every year. What do you think is going on here, right? So it's like, yeah, if Trump writes a bill and you save some money, you're not actually saving any money. The deficit's even worse now than it was before, right? Even though Trump, I think he said he was going to fix it or whatever. This is the thing with politicians. They can't fix it. It doesn't matter who you put in office. The entire system is going to have to reset, right? It's going to have to reset. And when it resets, this is the thing that I have with the virus that pisses me off so much, is for every 1% in unemployment uptick, there's something like, I think it's 30,000 people a year die around the world, right? Like for every 1% that upticks, people don't understand how dependent on the economy the world is. And so this idea that we can just shut it down because we're going to save, we're going to protect against some boogie virus is just, it's iatrogenesis. It's this idea. It's a side effect. It's if we do one thing because we think we're going to solve this thing, it's going to create this whole outcropping of other side effects, right? And human hubris, like always, whether it's environment, whether it's fake food, whether it's pharmaceuticals, we think we can just create things, solve a problem. But what we don't understand are the complexities that happen as a result of that. Okay. So the fiat dollar is no different. Medicine's no different. Like big pharma is no different. Monocropping, GMOs, all these things are no different. Right. So I just think we're at a point, we're at $17 trillion in stimulus. And like, I don't see how we can get out of it. Right. And Americans are going to suffer, like kids and low income families. And like the very people that everyone's like protesting to protect are going to suffer, not because of racism, because literally the powerful have been making stupid financial decisions since basically Nixon's administration. Like literally it's going to come to roost, man. It's a future generation that pays for it every time.
Here is my favorite part about the stimulus bill that I just, because they just released like all the names that got it. Billions of dollars were given to churches. They don't pay fucking taxes. that's the worst.
They're not
part
even
of
allowed to worship, and they're not letting them worship either. Yeah. You want to know how many hedge funds got money and how many private equity firms that are going to basically use that money to buy distressed businesses and sell them off? Like,
yeah,
it's in, I mean, but in the government can't even, doesn't have the, like the wherewithal to even care. They're just like, yeah. Oh, apparently a million dead people got money too.
Oh, that's the best.
Yeah. So people taking somebody that died and filing it and getting the money, whatever. Like,
great.
It's just so like there's a lot of things here, but I never thought the government would go to the extent it did. And as with everything the government does, it cannot do it correctly. It tries to overcorrect and it gets a ton of waste as a result. And usually it makes things worse. If we just let the dollar devalue, if we went to a gold standard and we had maybe a few years where things were tight, and people had to save and people had to stop spending on stupid shit they didn't need, we would get through it, right?
But nobody wants to be happen. The president or the Federal Reserve that does that.
They won't get
we
elected.
Had a whole episode on the Federal
they won't,
Reserve.
They won't get elected. Yeah, they won't get elected.
On Crypto Basic. And the sad thing is, even if that might be the right decision to basically like give us hard times for a short term so we can fix this shit, nobody is going to do it for the same reason they don't go for it on 4th and 1, for the same reason that like, people don't take a risk that when it looks like if you're wrong, we don't think they are. But if they were, even if they're not, even if it takes 10 years to fix the shit, for the 4 years that things are bad, you're going to look like you caused the economy to crash and it's your fault and you're making stupid decisions. And nobody wants to be the one who does that. So
I don't think they can, though.
Yeah, maybe they can't. They like, might not
I don't
be able
think
to do anything now.
If you had a martyr president that came in and like talked a bunch of shit, and then, but like had this evil plan of basically fixing it, right? Like if you found somebody that was willing to do that, which that itself is basically not going to happen. But right. If that happened, you're going to have Congress and all the, and the cabinet and all the people around, like the big boys and girls club of that DC is, are going to just fight against you, right? People don't understand, like even if you're on the left or right, the people that go into DC to work in the government are like lifetime members, right? Even if they're on opposing party lines, they end up kind of like falling into these routines and certain people get hired and there's like a lot of nepotism and things. And that's a lot of why Trump gets so much like what he does, because a lot of people in DC just want him gone, right? And so it's like you almost can't have a disruptor. Even if somebody's willing to do the work, even if they were going to die on their sword, I don't think it would happen because it would just like get overruled. It would have to almost be like an executive order where like we'd have to like start a war and then use that as a guy. So the president like do crazy things almost. Yeah, right. Yeah. Like it's just so I just don't until
right.
It implodes.
We got to get back to Costa Rica. This is
Costa look, Rica, though. This is
these
why.
Are all the reasons behind it. But like, all right. So why Costa Rica specifically? I've been to Costa Rica. It's a fucking amazing country. I yep. loved it. You've never been there. So mm-hmm. or actually, have you?
No.
No, okay.
It's been on my radar for a while, though. For a lot of entrepreneurs, I've a lot of podcasts talk about how like it's the most beautiful place in the world. There's different climates. They have a lot of conservation. I guess the short answer is it's very politically stable. They don't have a standing army. They don't usually get involved in politics and wars and things like that. There's a good relationship there with America. Like JFK went down and went, you know, the 60s or whatever, and kind of helped them with infrastructure and things, and almost like a big brother. Like, you know, you do pay a gringo tax when you go down there, but typically locals understand that you're there to help the economy. So they're more open, and obviously it's beautiful and, you know, amazing. And so like the idea is to go down there, and there's two options. So I'll just lay it out for people. There are a couple other places though, are Panama. Belize has actually been growing, probably getting a little bit more expensive. Certain places in Mexico are really good. And did you know that there's actually more Americans that leave to immigrate to Mexico than vice versa?
That doesn't surprise me.
Everybody thinks all the immigration is going to come over here. People are literally fleeing America to go there, right? And so there's just a lot of negative branding with any place in South America because of like Hollywood and shit, right? We make it seem like it's, you said Medellin, you made it seem like, you know, it's super dangerous or whatever. And I'm sure it was more dangerous back then, but it's like most of these countries are relatively safe, at least in certain areas, and if you do it a certain way.
There were some things I wouldn't have done when I was in Medellin, but for the most part, it was fine. Even Cuba. Cuba is one of those places that you think is like the people are dying in the streets. Like they're all poor as shit. But I was drunk in the middle of the streets at 3:30 in the morning and was not afraid for my life at all. So, you know, I don't know. So things are different in different countries. And Costa Rica is on that list. Gringo tax is a thing. That's not a gringo tax. That's a foreigner tax anywhere or American right. tax even.
It's a white tax. So the white privilege really kicks in there. Yeah. You pay for like, it.
My favorite time, I'm going to tell a quick story when I was in Thailand, when this happened to me. So I'm in Thailand and my favorite Thai dish my whole life has always been pad Thai, right? So when I was there speaking at a crypto conference and I was done with that and I went to this place called the Floating Market, which is you get in these boats and they have these giant, really long motors with like propellers on the end of them, but they're super long because it's really shallow. So they have like, it's almost like a car motor and they have to like push it up and down. So we're in this thing and we're floating through this market. Most of the things around the outside are just souvenirs, but it's still pretty cool to like go through there on these like gondolas almost. And this other boat like pulls up to us and they're like, do you want some pad Thai? I'm like, yeah, how much? And they tell me and it's the equivalent of $5. So I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm getting pad Thai boat to boat for $5. I'm excited to tell. I give him the $5.
You probably paid double what you should have.
So my girlfriend's sister is there and she starts screaming at the guy, talking mad shit to him in Thai. And afterwards, she's like, I'm sorry, like that guy charged you so much. I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, that should have only been $250. He didn't know you were with us.
Yep.
And I'm like, no, it was fine. I would have tipped him $250. It's okay.
Yeah, I know. Well, so that's the thing. That's the reason they get away with it. Because like a lot of times Americans want to pay more, you know?
It's like if I knew I could have got it for $250, I didn't want to pay more. But
you told you might give them extra money just because, like, I respect anybody that's a laborer always. Like when they're busting their ass to do that, and they do that every single day, I always try to give extra money if I can. You know, I have total respect for that, especially since I grow up busting my ass, busting tables, and working in a golf course. I've done it all, construction. So yeah, the short answer is safety. It's one of the more expensive places in South America, but you get that. There's a lot of expats down there. It's more developed. Like, you know, there's a ton of benefits. Food's amazing. You know, like a lot of coconuts and papaya. And like, I'm going to literally eat like a king, right? I'm going to have a dude that just brings me fresh fish every day and grilled up with like plantains and bananas and stuff like grown around the corner. Like for me and my lifestyle, what I like to do, I actually feel like I would enjoy the jungle environment more than where I live now in Texas, because Texas is kind of dry heat and there's cedar and stickers. It's just kind of a different environment, you know, like there's different outdoor environments that and that are more friendly or less friendly. So the plan isn't to move from Texas. We're going to ideally try to stay here. But I, for the past 3 weeks, really start looking into selling this property. Actually, it's still like maybe on my mind. Like that's how serious I am with being concerned. And there's other reasons for that. There's the potential impending depression and property collapse that a lot of people are saying. So in July 31st is when all the paycheck programs come up. And so the theory is you're gonna have a ton of people that can't afford their mortgage. Instead of going into default, they're gonna load all that up into the market to sell. What is that gonna do? With potentially millions and millions of homes that weren't there a second ago, it's going to tank property values.
Right.
Now, I analyze that. We have a unique property. It's 10 acres. It's in the country. It's like the buyer is going to be a higher end buyer anyways. So I'm probably insulated for that because the people that would buy my property aren't going to be very price sensitive. But if you have like a $200,000 three bedroom home, and then all of a sudden there's millions of those, your $200,000 house might be worth like $125 on the market. Like, and then you could potentially be upside down.
If you're in a big city, in my opinion. Exactly. Because you're like in Austin, you're in New York, these places where people move there to be in an office, to be like with the other people that they work with, things are going to change. Because one of the only good things I think is going to come out of this virus is people are going to understand that many jobs don't require you to be on site and remote
and are better not being on site.
Yeah. Or at least break even. So you can get rid of your giant fucking office in New York and tell people they can work remotely. So guess what they're going to do? they're going to leave the most expensive city on earth and they're going to buy a property like yours. They're going to be like, holy shit, I can get a 10 acre property for $1 million. That's one bedroom apartment.
One bedroom. Yeah, that's actually a good point. Yeah, that's a good point for my property. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that you're probably, and that's a complete guess. I don't know enough about markets to actually.
Well, look at California, dude. People that buy in California are used to like 10x prices.
Yeah.
A lot of them are leaving California because of it's a shit show and they're going to places like Texas. A $700,000 property, which is like, let's say hypothetically, that's what I could sell mine for, maybe $800,000. You're looking at a 3-bedroom in the middle of like LA or San Francisco or San Diego, like a kind of a nice area, but you're still like in a 3-bedroom house in a small neighborhood, right? And you could get 10 acres in the freaking country and have your own food and animals and whatever, and a huge house to boot, right? Yeah, so
when we lived at the Beach Club in Hollandale, that place was more than $1 million. That little tiny thing that we lived in. So,
yeah.
So anyways, all right. I would say you're reasonably insulated from that risk of everything crashing. You've got your place in Costa Rica. You chose Costa Rica for, you know, it's one of the easier South American countries to move to, relatively stable, everything like that.
Yep.
So what do you do when you get there? Let's say you actually move your primary residence to Costa Rica. Do you open a new business in Costa Rica? Do you just kind of retire early or...
Well, this is going to depend on whether I'm going to still be CEO of Wild Foods. I mean, for the foreseeable future, I am. So nothing would have to change in my professional life. They could literally stay the same, right?
Right,
so
that's working remote. Yeah.
Yeah. I already do, right? And so that changes nothing with that. I probably will look for investments. There's a lot of tax incentives. There's a lot of things you can do. You know, Americans are very entrepreneurial. We have kind of a different mindset. You know, like I could go to a place like that and probably see opportunities that other people can't. I don't know if I even want to get involved. I might just want to just have it as a place to, you know, eat, maybe live full time, but I'm actually thinking I more want to do like a bounce around thing. So you have snowbirds that live up north and they go south, whatever. I think I might want to end up doing something like that. And I'm also looking into Lisbon, Portugal as another option. Mm. And
I will tell you, the Azores in Portugal was the coolest place that I've ever been. Expectation versus reality.
Is it a mountains? What are the Azores?
The Azores are islands off the coast, but they're part of Portugal. There are more cows on those islands than there are people. So we actually ran into a traffic jam while we were on a tour of cows on the road because there's only one way that they can walk. So we were just behind them. But it was an island paradise, most well manicured, beautiful place. There was casinos.
Very clean, low crime. The whole city, Lisbon, the dollar goes a pretty long way. You can get like an apartment for like 300 euros and shit. Like, and there's parks. Yeah. Yeah.
I asked the guy what it would cost to move to this island paradise. And he's like, well, if you want to live in the nice area, I'm like, yeah, sure. The nice area. He's like 400 euro for a 2-bedroom. I'm like, what?
I know. I don't get it. It's great. It might be one of like the cheapest, nicest places in Europe, you know, like legit. So, I mean, honestly, if I can financially make it happen, either I treat a place like Lisbon as like, okay, I'll Airbnb for 3 months if we're going to go live there, right? Like, it's not like I have to own a place or pack up every time. Like, you have something like Airbnb. It makes it very flexible if you want to actually live there and not have to live out of a hotel. So with Costa Rica, it would be an investment. It would be a place that I can actually Airbnb. The property I'm looking at is actually gated community by a dude based out of actually Sarasota, his area code. I talked to him. And he's in phase 4. Most of them are expats and they do about an acre and you could put a 2-bedroom, two whatever house on it. And you don't even need permitting. And all in, you're going to $125,000.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Property taxes, $500 a year. I could buy that and just Airbnb it and make like a very small return, but at least I could make a return for when I'm not there and basically be recouping my investment. Right. And probably be profitable over taxes and then go there anytime I want. It could be a safe haven. It's our own place, whatever. And probably end up going there like, you know, maybe every other month or maybe a few months at a time, then come back, like just having flexibility. But really the primary motivator, because it's not like really where I'd want to put my money right now. I'm starting to think that I have to put my money there. Like that's part of like the pressure that 2020 has put on me where a lot of my money was in the stock market. I sold off some of the more speculative companies and I'm just owning a few of what I perceive as monopolies, which I think everybody should do. But it's likely that if we have a lost decade that Ray Dalio was talking about, that I won't be able to touch those stocks for 10 years. Right. But that's like not a huge deal because like it's not going to change my life either way. So I'm just going to kind of leave it. And I've been moving a lot of my stocks into silver and gold and Bitcoin. And so those three things, like I've always known to own these. I've always owned them, but I've owned small amounts. 2020 was like, oh my God, I need to own this like as much as I can right now. Because we could have hyperinflation. We could see grass-fed beef go from $7 a pound to 50, Like usually hyperinflation shows up in the food supply first. Like, and then that's when people get really nervous. And then it just, and then from there, it's like a freaking roller coaster down where people freak out, you know? Cause like, if you're worried about you're not going to be able to eat or afford to eat, that's when stuff gets haywire. That's the plan, basically.
So I have ended up in a parallel situation to you.
I'm curious.
This is going to be the first time you've heard of it. It's only been the last few days for me. So JJ's daughter Leah has been living with us for the whole summer, but she's on her way back to her dad's house, right? And I'm thinking, like, I can't do anything in the U.S. now. I can't go out to restaurants easily. I can't go out to bars. Like, I don't care about wearing a mask. Like, I'm sensitive to impending personal freedoms and people attacking them, but I put a thing over my face and I'm good. It's like a scarf. But I would really just like to be able to live normally, right? So I'm like, I wonder if I can go anywhere as an American, because they're saying that you can't go to Europe. And I was like, who will take us? Where can I go? Got a buddy who used to live in China. He lived in China for 10 years. He owned a bar there that I went to high school with. And I just asked him about Cambodia. I'm like, can I? Because he lives there now. He left when the Wuhan virus started to go crazy. So now he lives in Cambodia. He's like, yeah, man, they'll let you in. The only thing they do is they test your whole plane when you get here. And if anyone on the plane has COVID, then they quarantine the whole plane for 14 days. In the nicest hotel in the area, and it costs you $80 a night to stay there, and that's it. After that, there's no masks, there's no, like, people might have hand sanitizer at the front of the businesses, but everything's open. Bars, clubs, restaurants, everything's normal. They've had zero deaths from COVID since it started. They've got 140 total cases, and same thing. I was like, so what is like a two-bedroom, two-bathroom go for? He's like, yeah, $300, $400 a month. So
is the city, like, is it city developed? Like, what's the, like, infrastructure like there?
It's going to be probably on par with a Thailand or on par with like a Vietnam.
So there's is there high rises and stuff? Like,
yeah.
Is
it so that's all these places are high rises. So I'm looking and they've all got nice pools. To put this in perspective, not that I want to put this stuff out there, but I live in a one bedroom in Austin. It costs me $1,600 a month. So like I'm seeing these comparisons and I'm like, you know, I don't know when life gets back to normal in the United States. I honestly don't. So I'm like, why, if I can get out of my lease here, why wouldn't I just ride this out in Cambodia until it's normal, then come home?
As long as you have good internet, and you might have to adjust your schedule. But
some of the best internet in the world. Mm-hmm. That was the number one thing I looked into. So I'm
you should
like,
just
oh
do it
God.
Then. You should just do it.
Listen, I'm telling you, this is a parallel idea that I've
you
been
can come
having
back anytime, right? Like, because you could literally store your shit in storage here. Or put it in my shed out here and pay me a little bit, right? It'd be cheaper, and then come back whenever you want, if you want, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
they have Amazon there.
So you could, there's Amazon business opportunity. You should actually also look into Costa Rica though, too. What if I buy a property and you sit in it for a while, right? And like maintain it or whatever, and super good deal, like that could maybe benefit multiple of us.
I don't know what I'm still doing here. I'm being honest with you. Like, there are so many options to be outside of the United States.
The fact and that it's still going on. Yeah. The fact that this shit is still going on with the lockdown and people acting crazy and wonky and like restaurants are 50% capacity. Like, none of them are even going to survive. I promise you that. You do not run a business at 50%. Right. It's
some of the biggest
Austin
restaurants are closing down.
Unbelievable.
My escape room. Very likely we are going to go bankrupt. We're technically allowed to be open. We've had two bookings total since we reopened. Total for the whole time. I mean, I should have had hundreds of bookings in that period of time. So things are changing. That's why, you know, you said that you started to sell some of your stocks. I sold all mine because I didn't know which ones were going to hold. I just see everything closing down. I see 2008 again, and I don't know what else to do other than hold crypto, gold, and unfortunately US dollars. So,
well, you could buy silver too. Everybody should be buying silver. Super undervalued. There's a service I use, One Gold. I'm actually looking into some other ones like Gold Money, because One Gold is a US based company. I'm concerned if that there was a worst case scenario and the government issued some like another gold act or whatever, they could freeze the vault basically, even though it's in, you know, my vault is in Canada in Switzerland, but the intermediary is a public company, so they could still freeze access to it. So I'm going to probably try to get that out of there. That's something I didn't really consider, but I just want to give everybody a couple wins. So I randomly look because my buddy Tyler is he's a gold bug, and he's very into hard assets and real estate. And so he doesn't really, I don't think he has any stocks right now, but he's always kind of like you know, stock market is rigged, the valuations are rigged, whatever. And I agree with him. My thesis has always been, I'm interested in owning stock for 10 to 20 years because I want to go from, you know, Amazon being 500 a share to literally $10,000 a share. I don't really care about anything in between. So I don't care what the price is, right? And certain companies that have little tech monopolies, like, I mean, even Facebook, as much as I hate it, it has monopoly. Google, I hate it at this point, has monopoly. Amazon, major monopoly. And it's like, they're not going anywhere. And if they get broken up as a shareholder, I'd still make a lot of money. Aside from that, though, I looked at a couple other stocks that I own. I had Square, and I don't check the
been awesome.
I don't check the prices. And so I looked at it. I got it $68 a share. And I think I sold it like $130 a share or something like that. And so I locked up like a nice little profit there. And then the one stock that I had no idea was this high was Shopify,
Canada's number one company now.
You know, oh, I didn't know that. They're at like, is it 1300 a share? I think
it's a lot. I don't know.
Make any money. They have no profit, right? And when Tyler was talking about this, and like, obviously you can have companies that don't make any money because of this future, but the valuations have gotten absurd. So what I decided to do is I looked at what I bought it at. I bought in 2017 at $68 a share. And so I was like, well, there's no way that even when this corrects, it'll correct at this number. Even if they started just banking profit next year, it's not going to be this number. So I liquidated all my shares and I tied it up literally $10,000 profit, right? I wasn't even paying attention, but that's kind of how wonky everything's gotten, from the market to this to that to pricing. And a lot of people are going to get stuck in whatever crisis is going to happen. We probably will have a depression. And if the Fed is able to print enough dollars to kind of stave that off, it's going to happen in probably 2 to 3 years, right? Because you see every few years, there's another financial crisis. What people don't understand is, by default, a fiat system has to have a crisis every few years, because that's their excuse for printing more money into the system to basically bandage over it. And I'm just done playing that game. Like, I just don't trust it anymore. So I have to make plans.
That's a big part of why the stock market is still going up. They are printing more dollars. So the same stocks are worth more dollars because the dollar is worth less. It is an interesting piece of the puzzle, which is what, you know, a long time ago, what led me to crypto. The thing is, the indicators for a possible recession have been there long before this virus, but this exacerbated the shit.
It was already happening. People, that's what they're not telling you. It was already happening. And that's why you get into a lot of conspiracy theories where they think that even if it wasn't on purpose, it's at least they're taking advantage of the virus to print a bunch of money, because they have to print a bunch of money because the whole thing's going to collapse. All the dudes, the smart dudes, were saying that the recession had already started before we officially had a virus. It was already happening. So it's like, come on, people. Like, we have all the information's there. It's not even like the Fed's trying to hide it. They're like, yeah, we have $17 trillion in stimulus basically trying to work its way through the system. $17 trillion.
Buying stocks.
Never in the history were they allowed to do that. Never in the history they're allowed to do it. They're trying to give the money and then buy both ends to prop the damn sinking ship up. And so this is what we need to do, though, because I don't want people listening to this and getting like afraid. Like, you should be fearful, but you should look at it as educating and becoming aware and then protecting yourself, right?
Yeah.
Let's give some scenarios. Let's take two individuals. Let's take somebody who maybe they're making high end $100,000 a year, pretty comfortable. They're saving money every month. And let's take somebody that makes like $30,000, $35,000 a year, barely making ends meet. And then let's try to talk about like strategies for each of them. The first strategy that I'll apply to both of them, the number will be different, but the first strategy I would say is absolutely stop putting anything, paying for anything on debt. Stop using credit, right? Unless you were literally going to buy gold with your credit card, which I don't even know if that's legal. So it's like, I'm literally not suggesting you do that.
We're not suggesting you do any of this, by the way. We are not financial advisors.
Right. I'm not suggesting you do this. But if you were to do that and be willing to go in debt to fund buying gold and then potentially not pay your credit, I know people that have done that. Again, this is not advice. Do not do this. Okay. So aside from that, though, stop spending things on credit, right? If you have to make ends meet, I get it. Okay. Second thing is, people need to own gold, right? Everybody knows to have, like, let's say have $1,000, your emergency fund. I remember when I was younger, that's probably the most I ever had in like a savings account. Like, I never kept a lot of money. Like, I get it, right? I get it. It's hard to save. There's a lot of flashy things out there. Things are expensive as hell, man. Groceries prices of food have already gone up. People can already see the inflation. Like, you don't even have to look far. Go look at your freaking grocery bill if you want to buy real food that's not fake, right? It's expensive. So everybody needs to have, like, let's say $1,000 in gold, right? If you have that, and I would ideally have it on your person, have the physical form. if the dollar collapses, let's just say that happens, and we have like hyperinflation Germany style, right? That 1 ounce piece of gold could potentially save your family for months to eat, right? Because the 1 ounce gold right now, which is at about 1800, could potentially be worth $5,000 or $10,000, right? So that's one reason to have it. The second reason to have it is if your dollar collapses and gold doesn't even skyrocket and it just stays the same amount, well, now you at least have $1,800 to buy food when before your dollars in your bank account would either be confiscated or worth nothing. Okay. So we're talking about like worst case scenario, have at least an ounce of gold no matter what, because no matter what, it's going to go up in value over time. Nobody's going to be able to steal it or take it or whatever. And I mean, if you store it the right way, and you're always going to have a backup plan. Right. If you have $1,000 in your emergency fund, maybe spend 500 on gold or silver and just keep 500 in cash if you feel comfortable. And then buy Bitcoin, of course. And then whatever amount that you can put into gold, put in either 1-to-1 or like 0.5-to-1 into Bitcoin. Maybe just use Coinbase. It's easy. And then take it off to a wallet.
I recommend Cash App. Cash App is the easiest way to buy Bitcoin itself. If you want to buy the other coins or whatever, you would use Coinbase. But
I would say don't buy any coins. But why don't you explain to people the strategy for Cash App, and does it go to an external wallet?
No, you can if you want to. So in
Cash App, you should, right? Because yeah. I don't trust Jack Dorsey at all. So
if you use Cash App, that you could just kind of go, there's a little like a stock looking symbol and you click that and then you can buy Bitcoin right there. And then if you click withdraw Bitcoin, you can put it in a wallet to where you kind of control it yourself. Here's my rule for what I leave on something like Cash App or something like an exchange. In cryptocurrency, this is the rule that we've espoused on our crypto podcast since, you know, forever. Don't leave any amount of money on any of those sites that would ever impact you emotionally if it was gone overnight. Because it's happened a lot of times in the crypto space. These exchanges will go down, they'll run out of money, and then there's nothing you can do. There's no recourse. So for some people, that might be $50. For some people, that might be $10,000 worth of something. It might be one full Bitcoin. You know. So it's different for each person. But if you woke up the next day and it was gone, if it would depress you in any way, then you shouldn't leave it on there and you should take it off. Ideally, if you want to be your own like sovereign bank and handle your own money, which is a lot of the reason why somebody would get into Bitcoin in the first place, you want to pull it off of there anyways. Especially if you're just planning on storing it and leaving it there. Cash App is kind of the best way you can spend it if you needed to spend it, because you can sell it right into crypto right there and then use your Cash App debit card. But that's why I use Cash App for it. And that's...
And what people should know is that they might think, oh, that's risky. But based on what's going on in 2020, and really what's always been the case, having dollars in a bank account is risky. People don't understand that banks can fail. Banks have in the past limited or stopped withdrawals. Yeah. That has happened before, right? That happens when people panic and they want to take all their money out, and the bank basically says, nope, not happening. Most
banks are also not even required to have physical cash on them right now, 0%.
And most of them are insolvent, dude. Most banks keep not even like 0.5 or 1% of the depositor's money. They actually only keep that much money, and they just like lend out the rest and do whatever with the rest. It's called fractional reserve banking. It's a joke.
Yeah, fractional reserve. I'll tell listeners one more story just to illustrate this. Back when we're playing poker a lot, I'm in Vegas for the World Series of Poker, and I needed to go get $10,000. I needed more cash so I could buy into a poker tournament. I had enough money in my bank to go get $10,000 out of my bank. I know they get a little jittery when you pull $10,000 out or whatever. So
they look at you like you're a criminal, dude. They're like, give me multiple forms ID. Let's have the manager come over. One lady was like, sir, please don't step away from the counter. This is a lot of money. I just wanted to be like, go fuck yourself. You have my money. It's incredible.
They had to give it. They had to take me all the way down to $10 bills to give me $10,000.
They just didn't have the cash.
They just didn't have enough that day.
Gosh.
Normally, $10,000 is a nice, easy to manage stack of $100 bills.
Yeah.
And I had this mountain of fucking cash because they didn't have enough $100 bills, and I wouldn't accept $50 bills because they're unlucky. It was Chase Bank at the time. Wow,
that's surprising considering it's a big bank.
I might have just got unlucky that I went to one that was kind of like nowhere. It was in Vegas too. Like I figured a lot of people would do that, but maybe because the World Series of Poker was in town is why they kind of ran low. But it just blew my mind that all of a sudden $10,000 became like tough to deal with for a bank,
dude. So much of it is an illusion. It's a smokescreen. We kind of finish our list for the recommendations, because again, I don't want people walking away not knowing what to do. So get some gold, get some crypto, and when I say crypto, I mean Bitcoin. I do not recommend anybody buys all coins. Brent might have an alternative opinion on that, but that's not worth really going into. If this stuff is new to you, you're better off just buying gold, right? And nobody, then you have a little bit of crypto or Bitcoin.
I 100% agree with you that people should not be buying anything other than Bitcoin unless they were to kind of devote a massive amount of time to understanding why they were buying another coin. The other ones are super risky.
Yeah, I still think it'd be a bad investment, and it's not decentralized. It's none of it can be Bitcoin, but maybe one day something else will evolve. Anyways,
right, you're taking pot shots on those. It's really risky.
It's just a gamble. So get some hard assets, some real money. That's your first line of defense, because then if you have to leave the country or you need to transact in a different way or whatever, you can at least feed yourself and maybe get around. Second thing is get a passport. If you don't already have it, now's not the great time to try to get it, but you should at least
you should
at least get it in. You must get it in, because you do not want to be landlocked in a politically uncertain country that has already shown that we can have civil unrest overnight. And if it's not even protest, it's just civil liberties or mask wearing or social distancing or businesses being forced to shut down because they're not essential and people going without jobs. Like, I understand why there's a response, because governments always, because people expect governments to kind of take care of them, even though that's not what they should ever do. Governments are not there to take care of people. They're supposed to be there to protect certain freedoms and liberties, and that's it, right? And every crisis, whether it's 9/11 and Patriot Act and things like that, there's an overstepping of governments, and there's people in power taking more power. And that's what happens every single time. Sometimes it's on purpose. Sometimes it's on accident. Either way, it happens, right? So I understand why there was a response. I don't think it's the right response. I think there's a lot of things that we did wrong and that we should be learning from. And you see consistency bias. If someone says, do this one day, a politician, they have no incentive whatsoever to change their mind in 3 months, even if there might be other alternative narratives, right? Because what will people on Twitter do? You liar, you're this, you're that. The whole system is built in a way where you have to just stay in your lane, right? Like, that is such a fragile system for getting anything done.
The most hilarious thing is when somebody shows a video from like 1990 and they're like, look at this politician did in 1990. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Like, they changed their mind. Like, if they changed their mind,
change their mind in 1990. What do we think we knew then, right?
Yeah.
So you see this all the time. You see it in science. You see it in politics. You see it with celebrities, whatever. So as far as preparing, though, you need hard assets, right? And the dollar is not that. It's the epitome of not being that, okay? You need potentially a way to get out. So that would be a passport. You know, from there, it's really person dependent. I would maybe consider international travel, finding some places you can go to that you really like, or maybe you've been to places you could go to. I mean, for us, if it got really bad and I felt like I needed to leave for a while, I would just go to Costa Rica and rent a place, you know, and just like, just be there for a bit and see what happens.
Yeah, we gave you a pretty good list this episode. Costa Rica, Cambodia. Yeah,
Cambodia, Lisbon, exactly.
We gave you this great list of places.
Yeah. And so actually that's another strategy I think people should be doing. People should be taking advantage to sell any possible nonsense thing that they have that is just collecting dust. I have lenses that I had in here that I wasn't using because, again, 80-20 rule. I used 20% of my lenses. Most of the time it's two lenses out of like 15 I own. I sold 10 of them for like $1,500. Right? Got some money. And those would have just continually devalued in value, right? Because they would have been older and older and older. And I would have gotten no money out of that. I took that $1,500 and I bought silver, right? So I take anything that has any value whatsoever that you're not using and try to convert it into, you know, first dollars and then maybe something like gold or Bitcoin or whatever, right? And even just having dollars is not going to be the end of the world, because it's very likely the Fed's going to prop it up and we probably won't see hyperinflation like this next round. We might even have a period of deflation, which your dollars will be more valuable, and that would be a good time to buy things like gold and silver in real estate. But there is the likelihood that within the next 5 years, there's going to have to be a massive reset and we'll have to probably go to something like the gold standard or whatever. I don't think people should be buying a ton of food. Like, this is kind of a weird thing. Like, you know how you see those preppers that like, they just like load their house up with stuff. I guess if you have no plans to leave America, you'd want to do that. And you probably should buy a lot of food. But I don't think most people need to be going to the extent of buying like, you know, like the MREs that last like 10 years or whatever. I mean, I don't think it can hurt. I have 100 pounds of rice in my thing right now, right? Because it's like 25 pounds back. I think people should totally do something like that. But if you have limited funds, do not just invest it all in food. Because if you needed to leave, then you're not taking all that food with you, right? So like you want to build kind of a flexible, mobile plan, right? Because 2020 is for America is very scary. Yeah, I've never felt this way in my life.
Here's the one thing I'll say. Even if you don't have any money to do any of this stuff that Colin's suggesting, one thing that you can do is learn new skills that are related to surviving without the current modern amenities or whatever you want to call it. I need to learn this myself. If I needed to go kill my own food, I wouldn't know how to shoot it. I wouldn't know how to clean it. I wouldn't know how to cook it.
Hunting's a valuable skill. Hunting's very valuable skill. Yeah.
And that's something that, you know, you could have a family member teach you.
Build a fire. Learn how to build a fire. Something simple like that.
I don't know how to build a fire either. I don't know how to do any of this stuff.
Yeah.
So I need to learn. Go camping. Yes. Go camping. Like just
learn
those skills just to have them, because if for no other reason than you're the most valuable person in a group to have around, then the group will protect you if you're the only one who knows how to like hunt and make fires and stuff.
That's one of those things that I'm like, I know the value of it, but I don't think that our collapse,
it won't go that far.
It's not going to go that far. Right. And so that's why I see people kind of go a little bit too into the extreme and like too much into the wilderness survival. I'm more interested in global citizen, like survivorship, right? Cause you can always go to another country and they're going to be fine for the most part. Right. We have a huge economy. We have huge global economy. There's multiple small economies. There's islands. There's places where people know how to live off the land and live great. Right. You can find all the food you need, all the fruit you need, all the animals, the fish, whatever. I don't think we're going to be a point where we're like trying to rub sticks together in the wilderness to survive, you know? Though if you're landlocked in America and you have no skills whatsoever and you're living in suburban America where there's not, I got deer in my neighborhood. I can go kill food tomorrow, today, if I wanted to. Right.
Right.
But where I used to live, I'd be hunting down squirrels. They're not that hard. They're not that easy to catch, and they're not much protein. So it's like that could be a legit concern, right? And that's where you should have a couple months of food at least, if you can. You know, so
2 months worth of rice costs like $50. So
yeah, I actually probably have a year of rice. It was 100. The Costco has bags of 50 pounds for $25.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So like, I don't even know how long it would. If you're just eating rice, I don't know how long it would take you to go through 50 pounds.
That's 75,000 calories. It's like it's a lot.
We bought two bags of rice too at the before in like February, just in case. And I ate some of like a half of a bag. So yeah, that's a pretty easy investment just to know you have some food laying around.
How do we make sure we just like not scare people? You said education. So knowledge, education, skills, that's really your first line of defense. Even just understanding how gold works, money works, how something like Bitcoin works, even if you owned a little bit of it or none of it at all, if at least when stuff gets really bad, if you're one of the early movers, you're still going to have an advantage over literally 99% of like a place like America where a lot of people don't even know what Bitcoin is, right? They don't even know why they should own gold, right?
We'll put this in perspective. If you had bought $20 worth of Bitcoin in Venezuela 2 years ago, you'd be like a rich person now. And Bitcoin fell drastically in value in that period of time. I don't think I don't know, maybe we could end up like Venezuela, but since the global reserve currency is the dollar, it's really tough. That may change.
Those things happen fast. The second we lose reserve status, could be a snowball in the wrong direction.
Right.
Like that's the problem. So again, I don't think that's going to happen. But one thing's for sure, gold's going to rise in value, Bitcoin's going to rise in value, silver's going to rise in value because we continually print money. Like, this is not debatable. Like, no economist would argue with you. They would say, yeah, you're right. There's inflation There's inflation. I mean, there is inflation.
Probably the sound of inflammation.
Inflammation, but there's inflation every single year. Thus, hard assets comparatively are going to do better. You're at least going to be able to hold your wealth versus it being eroded away.
Yeah, if this was really a sky is falling kind of pod, it was supposed to be fun about Costa Rica, but there was no way to talk about Costa Rica without this. So
yep.
If it was a sky is falling podcast and we were actually saying like, holy shit, get the fuck out, like run, we wouldn't still be here. So, you know, we would have forced the issue. We would have like done things a lot differently. This is just one of those things where instead of a 0.1% chance, there's now like a 3% chance, which is a big freaking increase, but not a favorite. So it's just one of those things to think about. Make a couple of strides, a couple of sacrifices. Don't buy that Nespresso machine. Instead, throw that thing into some
And hold real valuable assets. And I don't know if we can put percentages on it. Like if I had to quantify it, it went from me just having guns and gold because I want to have them because I think they're cool to me feeling like I absolutely have to, for the survival of my family, have guns and gold. So it's one of those things where it's like either off or on, not necessarily a percentage. There is a percentage that something can happen, but we don't know what that is. But it's either you're prepared or you're not prepared. And I have a second child on the way. Like I can't not be prepared. I can't just keep sticking my head in the sand, even though that's more convenient. It's way more convenient to not worry about politics. I don't like politics. I don't like any of it. I don't like having to feel like the average person is, I don't even want to get into it, but
I don't respect a single politician. I don't.
Yeah.
The only one of them that I had any respect for was Andrew Yang. And then I wanted to have some respect for Bernie. And then, but like,
he's lost it all, dude. He's lost it all.
Okay, let me tell you.
I don't even follow Bernie. I don't even follow him, but like, he's completely, I feel like he's like just cuckoo at this point.
So the thing that kind of lost my some respect that I had left for Bernie, and it doesn't matter, he's never going to run again. So there was a bill that is trying to get its way through, and all it needed to do was be downvoted. It's going to try to stop encryption. Like,
yeah, it's called the Fair Act, right? I'm pretty sure they passed it.
Yeah, it did pass the Senate. It passed by one vote, and Bernie didn't fucking show up. He didn't even show up to vote.
it's probably the most important bill for personal privacy in the history of this country, and it just got passed. And guess what? Nobody knows about it. Nobody is talking about it. Well, I saw it pass in the House. I saw that. I read that independently the other day, and it made me disgusted. So what I do is I go on my fake Twitter account, and I'll just talk mad shit to people that I want to get out. Like, I've done this to journalists before where they've written these like terrible pieces about like either demonizing meat, or I saw one like that was even about Dave Asprey trying to call him a snake oil salesman or whatever. And I just just completely biased articles. I'll just go and I'll find their Twitter, and I'll just be like, you should be ashamed of yourself. You're not a journalist. You're pathetic. And like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you spineless, gutless piece of whatever. So guys, education, owning real money, not like saying no to the system as much as possible, challenging everything you hear and see on TV or from politicians or whatever. In fact, just don't even listen to them. Just don't even turn on the mainstream news. It'll save your sanity. And just having flexibility, like get a passport, right? Get it for your
family.
There
is no good source for news. I try to like get my stuff from like Nassim Taleb and like
have to get it from people, and they're gonna have opinions you don't agree with too. And that's not bad though. Like, you're gonna find that the really good people that are worth following will sometimes lean towards a certain direction. Like let's say you like Ben Shapiro or whatever, right? Most of the time he's got good stuff to say. I don't like some of his religious stuff and like some of his like kind of like more pro marriage or whatever. It's like, you know, like religious stuff is kind of archaic to me, right? But most of the other things he talks about are pretty on point, right? So I don't need to hear everything out of his mouth and be like, oh my God, he's right about everything. I can hear the things that make sense, and I can kind of ignore the things or have disagree with those other things.
Ben Shapiro is somebody who I would say I hate religion. So Ben Shapiro is somebody that I disagree with significantly more often than I agree with. I follow him and I watch his shit from time to time because I want to know what an educated opinion on the other side is. I don't want to get an uneducated opinion from somebody who doesn't agree with me. It doesn't do me any good.
Well, what I've been seeing from him is I have no idea what this side even is. I feel like he's gotten to the point where he just talks shit about anything that is like a bad idea. And so it's like, I don't know. You take somebody like Rick Rubin, for example. Is that his name? Rick Rubin or Rubin Show or whatever? One. Maybe it's not Rick Rubin. It's the Rubin Report or whatever. I guess he's on the right. Again, I don't know the sides, but I do know that when somebody proposes like a piece of news or an idea and then they talk about it, if they have good common sense things to say and they look at all the sides, then I tend to agree with that person, right? It doesn't matter if you left lean, right lean, or whatever. And unfortunately, what we have seen, this is what I've talked to Tyler a lot about. It seems like more of the left has gone batshit crazy, right? You can obviously pull it back and get to a point where there's like still the legitimate left leaning ideals, but you get into socialism and you get into, I've read Atlas Shrugged on my drive to Florida, the entire book, one sitting. And I'm like, we're living it in 2020. It's insane, right? So the truth to everything is somewhere in the middle. But there is a point where communism and socialism and collectivism is not better. It never will be better, right? Look at Mao. Look at Russia. Look at Germany. It's Italy, right? Like, read a damn history book. That's all I'll say about that. But you don't have to. Like,
Germany's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, but they still have shame around what happened in World War II. And I actually watched the Monuments Men recently. It was kind of good, but it was based on a true story. They had all the art they found. They found like all of Germany's gold in like an abandoned mine somewhere. Like, nobody was guarding it. It's like, that can't be historically accurate.
A great movie that involves like autocracy and stuff like that is called The Wave. It used to be on Netflix years ago. I don't know if it's a German language movie where kind of like a professor he has to teach his kids about autocracy. and they all say like it can never happen again. So he goes through this, he goes through how it could happen again. Great movie. If you could, you might have to like go pirate it, like torrent it or something. Not that I don't even know if I'm allowed to tell you to do that, but if you find it, it's called The Wave. There's a shitty movie called The Wave that's like American, has nothing to do with that. It's like a surfer movie, but this one is very good.
Okay, so this is what we're going to leave you with, ladies and gentlemen. This is not, this is kind of going against my theme of trying to not make you afraid. This might make you more afraid, but at least it will make you aware. I'd much rather be afraid and aware than unaware and caught off guard. So the video is, actually, I need to find the actual title. And I've downloaded it because it's so important so that I can share places. KGB Warning for America. You can also find it on YouTube if you go there. Yeah, it's the top. It's the second one. So KGB defector, Yuri Bezmenov's Warning to America. Now, this is a short clip of this. I've seen him give other talks that are like an hour long. It might be worth listening, but this video is 6 minutes. He's talking about the psychological subterfuge of America and about how most of what the KGB did was not the spy shit you see in the movies, but actually like infiltrating universities and sowing dissent and doing all the things. We already know that Russia and China, all these countries have been doing this for years. We also know that they've interfered by buying ads through Facebook to spread fake news. This is not a conspiracy. They've done this. It's proven to do this. They do this in other countries too. Mm-hmm. Like Russia, and they interfere in shit all the time if they want to like have some end or whatever. And
they're doing a very good job. We are the most divided I have ever seen.
This video though is like in the 60s, dude. When you watch this, you'll be like, this guy must have recorded this last week. That's how prophetic it is. So we're going to leave you with this. Jason, I'm going to give it to you. You're going to put this link in there for the audio. And I highly recommend listening to this. And your defense, though, I'll give you the defense for it before you even finish the video. Your defense is to think for yourself. And when I say that, that also means that whatever you hear come out of a politician's mouth or somebody on TV or even my mouth, it should be interesting. Let me investigate. It should not be, I learned something. The second you go to thinking you learned something because somebody said it to you, you perpetuate the BS we have. We have a polarized civil unrest, crazy modern 2020 America that could collapse. We've already had a revolutionary war. We have civil war. We have World War I, World War II. We could literally have World War III, or we could have another civil war. To think that it can't happen is just, you're not paying attention to history. And that's really the final thing I want people to wake up. All my content has been around this. It's this idea that we are so egotistically naive to think that it can't happen again. Every government in every fiat dollar in history has failed, right? We're like actually one of the longest standing experiments thus far. Whether we last though, who knows? It's going to take more people though, not being sheep and not plugging into the matrix, not taking the blue pill. You have to take the red pill, even though it's really inconvenient to do so. I'm telling you, it's not fun. Trust me, but you have to do it. Take your medicine, take your red pill. All right. And we're going to leave you with that. And then if Brent's got any final words, we can do that. Make sure you like, share,
I'll give
subscribe.
You a quote from my father.
Leave us a review and leave us a review. Review.
Quote from my father. He told me this a long time ago. Always stuck with me. He said, Brent, I will respect you in anything that you do. And he has. I've been a professional poker player, which most parents would not understand. And he's respected that. He said, I'll respect you in anything that you do as long as you don't become a politician. And he's 100% right. Just the older I've gotten, I realized, like, holy shit.
Yeah, and yet we still have politicians, and we have a two-party system, and we have this, and actually we have a democracy, even though the country was founded initially as a republic, and Socrates hated democracy, Plato hated democracy for a reason, because the second the public can vote to line their pockets, they will, and is the beginning of the end, and it has already been happening. It's already going on, so.
All right.
I voted for Obama. And for years, I used to think I didn't pay that much attention, but I thought, actually, I didn't vote for him, but I mentally voted, whereas like I wanted that guy to win, right? So I had that. And so for years, I had this idea that, oh, he's good. And then I actually looked in and started becoming more aware of some of the things he did and didn't do and the drone strikes and whatever. And I just think he's shit. And you can also bleep that out, Jason. But he's a shit. So bleep for each one of those.
Kanye 2020. Let's go.
If Elon runs with him, 100%. That's what people are saying. They're saying Elon and Kanye might.
God. All right.
All right, guys. Yes. We'll see you in the next one.
See ya.